everybody, welcome to Pub Table Racers. The date today is September 14th. Time's flying on this. My name is Tim Packman. Sitting next to me is the one, the only. He's back in action after testing in Daytona.
Warren Brosell.
How you doing, buddy? Welcome Great. Back.
It was hot.
It was hot?
And wet.
In the car?
I wasn't even in the car.
We'll talk about that in a minute. Well, first of all, welcome everybody. Hope you're having a good day. Even though my team lost and Warren's team lost, life goes on.
Who's Aaron Rodgers?
Exactly.
Tonight's show, we will talk about race results, and then we have some news coming up. And our guest tonight is Charlie Brock. He is currently the car chief for Daniel Hemric at Joe Gibbs Racing and Roush Racing. He's been there, DEI, Ginn Racing. He's also the grandson of NASCAR Hall of Famer Red Farmer of the Alabama game. Pretty cool. Got some good stories from him, maybe some cooking tips. We'll find out. But Warren, why do we have a bucket of beer in front of us?
We have a bucket of beer in front of us because we'd like to sit around, drink beer, talk about racing and racing news.
Welcome back.
We drink Miller High Life because of our hero, Bobby Allison.
The Alabama game.
We're weaned on it and we never stopped.
Exactly. So we pay tribute and plus it's good. Cheers to you.
We're leaving restaurants. They don't have Miller High Life.
Like they say, my dad always says first one of the day. Anyhow. Wow, look at all these people chiming in. See, Karen says, hi, Tim and Warren, Steph, shoot, welcome, guys. My mom, good evening, gentlemen. Hey, our website guy. He's actually here for a live episode. Very good.
Probably going to get paid or something.
Annette Kramer. So <we. laughs> Annette Kramer, Hall from Pennsylvania. Steph, shoot. Oh, here goes Steph. She's on the family arm. All right, let's launch off. Race results. Xfinity race. Noah Gregson goes two for two in a row. Hey, for all year long. Struggling almost.
Yeah.
I ran into his crew chief Dave the other night, Thursday night at Langtree, and we were talking about his luck, and finally I turned around and you're gonna start winning. Now's the time to win. You're in the chase, the playoffs, whatever you want to call it. So it's good for him.
Yeah, good for him.
He likes climbing the fence, he likes to win. The kid's got a personality. Cup news. Martin Truex Jr.
Yeah.
Wins that one.
JGR. Two in a row.
Two in a row. Joe Gibbs Racing.
They're showing their speed.
At the right time.
That's good. That's when you do it, right?
Yeah. And you don't have to lead the most laps, you just have to lead the ones that count. At the end. What'd you think of the race?
I mean, his car was fast all night, he had to start in the back.
Sure.
I thought the race was your typical Richmond race. Yeah. It gets out of hand there.
Right.
You know, you can only end up with 10 cars on the lead lap, and
But you think with a short track,
it could be a little bit of a snoozer. I don't really count that place as a short track.
Yeah, it just doesn't play like that anymore.
No. It races like a mile.
Well, speaking of short tracks, this week we go to Bristol.
We go to Bristol. We go to the last great Coliseum.
The last great Coliseum.
I actually have sword from that.
You do have sword? You have sword. That's right. The trucks are Thursday night, 9 o'clock. I set my alarm to wake up for that race.
Thursday at 9.
They're at 9 p.m.
at 6:30.
Yeah. And ARC at 6:30.
I would work on Friday, so it isn't like I can drink beer all night and watch the truck race.
I will watch it for you, okay? Yeah. You could.
I'm still going to watch
the
race.
We talked about that. News today came out. Sheldon Creed is a reigning Truck Series champion, currently leading the points. He's going from GMS Racing to RCR. Full-time in Xfinity next year. That's a good move for him, don't you think?
Sure, why not?
Why not? Xfinity? If you're going to go to RCR.
Their stuff's pretty good. That's the same as the college cars,
right?
You know, pretty much. So,
it's on all the same campus.
Good move.
Yeah, good for him. Jessica Nichols. Talk about the Bills game too, Tim. We did, Jessica. It was very brief this week. Very brief. Congrats to your team. Hurt to say.
That's right.
David Johnson says, hey, guys. Who else chimed in? Justin, the website goes, I like Warren, haha. He doesn't have the checkbook, okay? His wife does. All right. We all want to get paid, buddy. Let's see. Hey, friends. Okay, that's good. All right.
All right.
Other news that came out today. This one, I'm kind of. It was announced today that the.
I know where you're going with this.
The Clash, instead of going to its traditional Daytona, is going all the way across the country to Los Angeles to race in the Coliseum.
In a track and field event. I heard you're going to have to see up to before you get to your car, you got to throw a javelin.
Yeah,
and okay. Then you throw a javelin and then run and get in your car.
Go up the hill.
But how are you going to get everything in there?
I don't know.
Three coolest things about that place. They had two Olympics there, and Evel Knievel made a killer jump there, but he lived there. What's that? Oh, I don't get this one. Oh, we're going to save money. Well, let's go all the way to LA.
For the Clash.
For the Clash on the track. It's like Bowman Gray.
Right. It's the Clash, the Super Bowl, then the 500.
Right. Really? Yeah. Oh, they're going to have 2 weeks in between. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see how that goes. Let's just leave it at that. All right.
The Clash isn't everybody either. How many people are in it? You know what I mean? So
our website guy who's in California, not shy. Hey, shut up. We finally have a race out here in California. It's been 70 years since we had a race at Auto Club. Well said, Justin. Got it. It's good, Justin.
By midnight, you know, if you still have Gavin Newsom, too, I guess.
So we talked about the news, and that's it. I'm done with that. We'll see how it goes. 6 minutes in.
Done with that.
We're done with anything.
Bring him in.
Oh, wait. The test.
Can we call it
the Gen 7
now? We can call it the Gen 7.
So you went down.
I went down with Penske, with Joey Logano. Everything went well, as well as can be expected with a brand new car.
Got it.
I'm going to say it like that.
Did you learn a lot?
Yes. Okay. Everybody learned a lot. There's some small problems. There's some bigger problems. But as far as the car is fine. Mm-hmm. There's just some. They got some bugs to work out. Sure. It's a new car. Right. They got a little bit of work to do.
Sure. Which is expected.
And, you know, we'll probably end up helping them figure some of that out.
I heard the drivers were a little hot.
Drivers
got hot. They were
literally
cooked in there. They were making it was like an easy bake oven. They were making muffins and brownies in there on their runs.
You know, we did try to run the exhaust through a frame rail about, was it 20 years ago?
Yeah.
With the first COT, and that got too hot. 2006.
Okay. 06.
06.
Yeah.
Okay. Our guest is ready to come on.
Yeah.
He's chirping from the gallery.
I can tell we're not going to have any problems.
No, it's fine.
We might not get a word in.
That's
okay.
I was warned about this.
That's
great.
Okay.
That's fine. All right, so the other thing, one thing I thought was pretty cool is I finally got to see the rearview mirror.
The camera.
There's a camera hooked up.
There's a camera on the back of the roof.
Yep.
That obviously points back at the field if you're leading.
Mm-hmm. If you're
Joey.
Okay. But if you're last, you're seeing the hot dog.
If you're last, you're
seeing the hot dog.
Yeah, hey, my camera ain't working. There's nothing behind me.
Just the hot dog guy.
No, it's working.
And the peanut man. That's all you got behind you. Right. I thought that was
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, and then it displays in like a review mirror shape for a driver.
Right, but I guess that needs work because the object and mirror are close.
Yeah, there's a little bit of depth perception thing going on with that.
I thought that was kind of cool that they did that.
But it's very clear.
Yeah.
I thought it's new. It's neat. It's cool.
I watched a few of the in-cars and the steering wheels weren't moving a whole lot. So, we'll see. It's Daytona though.
Right. All right.
Well, so you're saying there's work to be done and it's doable.
It's got to be doable.
Exactly. That's what I thought. All right. With no further ado. Sorry. He's got to introduce somebody. He's just going to introduce himself. I see how this is going. Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now, his name is Charlie Brock. He is currently the car chief of Daniel Hemric in the NASCAR Xfinity Series for Joe Gibbs Racing. He's also worked at Dale Earnhardt Incorporated. He's been a tire changer, Roush Racing, Ginn Racing. We talked about that. A couple other places. And
Red Farmer Racing.
Wait a minute, we're getting there.
Cool first, thing, we need to start off with a.
Let me finish the introduction. Let me finish the introduction.
Yes.
Good God. He is also the grandson of NASCAR Hall of Famer and Alabama game member.
You can't even talk.
Red Farmer. Because you got me off fire. Hey, would you like to. First of all, welcome over. Would you like to have a beer?
Yes.
All right.
Cheers to Bobby Allison.
Here we go. Here's the Alabama game.
Yeah, actually, and you call him Uncle Bobby, so
Uncle
that's
Bobby.
Pretty special.
I call him Uncle Bobby and Uncle Donnie.
Nice.
Look at that. First day drinking.
Pretty awesome.
All right, first of all, we start with the normal. How'd you get your start in racing? Pretty obvious.
Well, I was born.
I was born July 19th.
You're in Nashville, Tennessee.
There we go. We got an hour. It's your time. Where?
I was born and raised in Brentwood, Tennessee, actually. I tell people I'm from Alabama just because that I've lived in Alabama from the time I was probably 5 years old every summer till I graduated high school in 91 working on my grandfather's race cars.
Okay.
Spring break, Christmas, Thanksgiving, anytime we had time off, I would go to Alabama and work on my grandpa's race cars. And, you know, it was something I loved, something I enjoyed from the time I can ever remember. I can remember taking my grandpa coffee out to his motor shop where he built his own motors.
Right, we're talking Red Farm. We're talking like the Red Farm.
Where he started his cup shop. Mm-hmm. It was a little two-stall garage.
Right.
That's where he built his motors at. And then he had a five-stall garage behind it where he built his cars at. And I can remember just being a little shit, fucking taking his coffee out to him while he built motors at night. You know, that's some of the youngest memories I have.
So at what point, and I asked this, because at what point did you realize he was like Red Farmer, this big-time racing guy? I mean, at some point,
it didn't ever really sink in.
All these people like Grandpa a lot.
To me, I never have. He's my grandfather.
Yeah.
He was my boss. And I don't know if anybody's ever worked their family. That's the hardest thing to do is work for your family.
It is.
Yeah.
I graduated high school in 1991, and I went to work full-time for Davy Allison Racing Enterprises.
Oh, very good.
In June of 91. Hmm. And who was my boss? Hmm. My grandfather.
Okay.
I lived with my grandfather and grandmother.
Yeah.
Paid rent.
Living with him paid rent.
How I started full-time.
Had to get up with Grandpa every day and stop. That was how your day started.
You started. We got up. We ate breakfast.
Yeah.
We went to work. We got off work at 4 o'clock. It might have been 4 or 5. I can't remember. It's been a long time ago. When we go home, my grandmother would have dinner cooked. We would eat dinner, watch the news, and we'd go out to the race shop working with dirt cars till 10, 11 o'clock at night until MASH came on.
MASH.
When MASH came on, work had stopped. You went in the house. You had dessert that Grandma made, and you sit there and watch MASH.
Right.
And you went to bed, and you did it the next day.
The next day. And you loved it.
That's all I knew.
That's all you knew.
That's pretty awesome.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I mean,
so what was it like when Red won?
You did a lot. So I had opportunities to drive. He always tried to get me to drive race cars, mm-hmm. this, that, and other. And I'm like, you know what? I spend more time fixing your wreck, tore up shit. I can imagine if I tried to drive, what would happen?
Right.
There's not enough hours in the day.
You'd miss MASH and dessert.
Yeah, I'd miss everything. So, no, I enjoy working on the race cars. I always have. And I enjoy working on them, seeing him go out and win, knowing that I worked on them, prepared the cars.
Yep.
And we won races.
Yeah.
That's cool.
You know, I drove one time at Talladega Short Track. He wasn't able to be there that weekend, and our good friend Jerry Goodwin helped me and my father out on the car, and I ended up crashing the car. Wrecking it, and that was my driver career.
I was done.
I was done.
One and done.
No, and you had to fix it too, probably. Right?
No, I left it. My cousin ended up running it the next year. He ended up getting it, taking it, running. He took over. He still drives. He runs crate late models, Liberdette. He runs crate late models at Talladega.
Perfect.
Around Alabama.
So I'm sure you're. So you said Davy Allison Racing. You're around Davy Allison. What was he like?
He's like my brother.
Yeah.
He was a great guy. He was instrumental in my life. His children, Liz, Robbie, and Krista.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was like one big family. We were all one big family. And Papa was like a dad to Davey, because
mm-hmm.
Bobby was always going, cup racing when Davey was growing up. So Davey leaned on Papa a lot, you know, through his late model career, and so did Clifford and Neil Bonnet, you know. So it's.
Did you ever travel up to Wisconsin with Davey to do our short tracks?
No, I never did. That was.
I was going to say, we might have ran across each other, but never
knew
it. You know what I mean?
Well, Papa drove some of Bobby's, you know, ASA cars through Dillon.
Yeah.
Those Dillon cars he had, but we ran mostly in the South, you know, Montgomery, Birmingham, Pensacola, and stuff like that. But
okay. Angela Pointer says, get ready to hit the bleep button.
Yeah, that's my next door neighbor. Yeah, she's,
okay,
we're all good.
We gave him the speech of what words not to
say. Yeah, as long as no F bombs, we're all good.
We're good.
Or compound words.
Yeah, we're R rated here, so.
Oh, PG-17.
Yeah.
Annette Hoffman Kramer says he's still boss. I guess he's talking about your grandfather.
Oh, yeah, still boss. Yeah, that's a good friend of mine, Annette. And Annette Hoffner from Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Her and her brother. They race up in Pennsylvania, and Papa actually drove for them years ago, and they got hooked up with us, and they come down and they run at Talladega, and you know, it's.
So you're like around a lot of greatness. I mean, you're talking Bobby, Donnie Allison, the Allison family,
Davey,
the whole. I mean,
Clifford.
You were just right there in the middle of it, and not to be funny, but you was probably like no big deal because you're all family.
Yeah, it's like, you know. Gary Blue, Rat Lane,
you
know, it's like, you know, we go to Nashville and run the All-American 400. You had Bob Seneca, Jody Ridley, you know, all those guys. You know, I remember going to the All-American 400 with my grandpa, and sitting on the back stretch pulling for Ted Musgrave because it was number 97.
Mm-hmm. Just because of the numbers.
Just because of the numbers.
Yeah. In total sense, yeah.
What, a lot of people, my grandpa was actually from Nashville, Tennessee. He was born in Nashville, Tennessee. Right. 2 miles from the racetrack on Wedgwood Avenue. The road goes right through where his house was at. So Papa was actually from Nashville, Tennessee.
Got it.
And then moved to Miami when he was in his teenage years. But
and then they all ended up, the Allisons left Miami and then came up to
Alabama. To town.
Right. Yes. Perfect. Says Annette says, Knight's Red won. Charlie might not remember the next morning after the story's read. And Charlie told me, fair enough. You don't have to go into those.
Yeah. Philpott.
Philpott's in the knuckles. Yeah. So what did your move when you finally came to the NASCAR side? What did that all...
After Davey passed away, the whole deal with Papa and Davey and the helicopter deal and everything, you know, I don't like talking about that.
No, you don't have to.
No stuff.
So, you know, this guy by the name of Ron Zook bought the team. He was out of, I think it was Orlando, Florida. And we had Derek, actually before that, I'm getting old, so I can't. I got CRS.
Mm-hmm. Can't remember Tim Steele. There's a name, yeah.
Actually drove a couple races for us before Ron Zook bought the team. And then we had Derek Cope drove for us.
Okay. And was that an ARCA team already?
No, it was still our Busch team.
Okay. Oh, yeah. All right.
So we had the Ron Zook bought it, and Derek Cope drove. We had Ernie Elliott, 901
D8. Real quick, how old are you at this point? What are you maybe?
I was 21.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, and you're Busch racing.
Yeah.
Full time Busch racing.
I started full time in 91 when I graduated high school.
Okay, so yeah. When you're 17 or 18.
Yes, 17, yeah. So we had Derek Cope. We first race with Derek Cope, we ran, I think, fifth at Bristol. That was the race that Mark pulled in on the white flag lap.
Yes.
Oh yeah, that's what you thought it was over.
Yeah. So that was our first race with Derek Cope with
the Zook race.
Yeah, it was over. Yeah. He was done. Yeah. He didn't know it, but he was done. Yeah.
What?
Huh? So we had Derek, and then we went to New Hampshire and actually won the Chevy New England Dealers 250 in a Ford Thunderbird with Derek Cope. That was my first actually Busch win.
Okay.
We actually never won a race with Dave. We sat on a couple poles and had some good runs. But
what was it like your first win? What do you remember about it?
I can remember first Busch win.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I can still remember. We were right across the racetrack from the flag stand.
Mm-hmm.
Gene Simmons was an old Busch official. You probably
know. I know. Yeah, I know. He was the flag. I know what you mean.
Okay. I'll never forget when he was dropping that checkered flag. Looking over at us, just grinning from ear to ear, you know,
like
because it was like we went
because you got one.
We went through so much,
yeah,
and everything we've been through, and the whole garage and everybody, you know, congratulating us. And,
yeah,
you know, it was a pretty cool deal.
David Weiss says, when are you going to start go back to changing tires? You were the heat.
He was my tire carrier.
Okay,
he'd take care of tires for me. I don't know,
one lug nut only.
Seven, 8 years, I guess.
Yeah,
you know. So actually, I changed tires this year at
Bristol.
Road America.
Oh, really?
We had to stand alone, Xfinity. No, was it Road America this year? No, it was Mid Ohio this year and Road America last year. Actually, because the road crews had to pit the cars because they didn't have pit crews.
Right.
So, being as I'm 48 years old, a little heavier than I used to be, I still busted off 13 second pit stops. So
it's not the
pattern with the gun
doesn't
change
perfect,
yeah,
but it's the point A to point B that's a little bit slower,
okay,
right,
as you put on age and pounds.
Okay.
And my wife contributes to
you can't blame her, she can put it down, but you got your elbow.
Yeah, well, and a lot of people think it's because of all the food I eat, all the cooking I do. So
you do a lot of cooking.
We're gonna talk about that in a little bit.
Yeah.
So the tire changing, where did that start? Where did that Ray Suarez says Charlie Brock, the legend, he calls him.
You know Ray Suarez, he was in security.
Absolutely. Yeah, we know
great
Ray.
Guy.
Him and I both know Ray.
Yeah.
Awesome
great,
guy.
Great guy.
I seen him in the parking lot today by us. I don't know what he was doing.
So I changed tires, you know, when I was a kid, you know, Pummel's dirt stuff, you know, and then when with Davey, I carried tires on Davey's deal, and then I started changing tires. I moved to North Carolina in 95, went to work at Stavola Brothers. I started changing tires.
And who's the driver then?
Hut Strickland.
Okay. Pizza Hut Strickland. Yeah. We call them call Spaghetti Brothers.
What'd you call them?
No, it was
Pizza Hut Strickland.
Yeah. It was it's the Gold Brothers Circuit
City.
You
said it so fast.
Circuit City car.
Yeah. Wow, there you go. Yeah. They're not even busy.
Bill Engel. Bill Engel and Bill Engel crew chief from Richard Broom. Richard Broom was my first cup crew chief. Boy, he was a piece of work. He was a good guy. Taught me a lot.
So you're at a young age, you're learning all this, and there was no schools back then. You just kind of learned on the job. Is that fair to say that pit practice?
Yeah, there was pit practice.
That's what I thought. Thank you. I was trying to make sure.
What the hell was pit practice?
That was being sarcastic.
And engineers. What was an engineer? They ran North Fork Southern up down the railroad tracks.
Woo, that's great.
You worked on the cars all week.
Yep.
You went to the racetrack, worked on them all weekend.
Right.
Then you changed tires on Sunday.
Right.
You didn't get no money for doing that.
No, it was all rolled in.
That's your job.
Pit practice? What was that? You didn't do that. That's all you can do to get two cars to the racetrack.
We got eight stops this week. One more practice to be in. Right? Yeah.
You didn't drink all that muscle milk.
No, no, Joe Piet. You know Joe Piet.
Yeah.
We hired him from Dave Marcus. It's the Bola Brothers. He came from Dave Marcus, so he's like back in the roots like I am. You know,
right.
Digging dirt just to make ends meet.
Oh, wait a minute. Go ahead.
We both changed tires together.
Got it.
It's the Bolas.
Okay. Stavola, and that's a legendary name.
Yeah.
So you've been through the history. I mean, it's just to sit here and talk to you. That's like you're like an encyclopedia of all this experience you've
had. What year was that?
Stavola Brothers? I was Stavola Brothers, 96, 97. And
I think I built your pit equipment.
98 is when we lost Circuit City in the middle of the year. We put Buckshot Jones in the car.
Buckshot.
And our last race was Stavola Brothers, and my wife's going to be like, oh, yeah, he can remember all that stuff. He can't remember what year we got fucking married. But anyway, pardon my French, I said the F word. So at the end of the year, the last race of the year, we had Morgan Shepherd driving a car to Atlanta.
Right.
Jeff Gordon's going to win a championship.
Mm-hmm.
The race had to be over by midnight because he had to go to London or somewhere the next day.
Right.
So we come in, we put on two tires, come out and lead. We're leading the race. We're going to win Atlanta.
Right.
Because we know it's got to end because Jeff Gordon's got to go overseas for his burning commitments.
Yeah.
We're leading the race, and so and behold, we got turned in a left rear by Jeff Gordon.
Oh, okay. Get out of the way.
Yep. He won the race, and me and Joe Piet drove the race car back on a rollback from Atlanta all the way back to Charlotte, North Carolina. That was the last race from all around the race.
On a rollback, so everyone had to see what you got. That's perfect.
There was still shit coming off of them when we pulled into Harrisburg on Highway 49.
Don't hit any bumps, right? Oh, what was that? I don't know. Yeah. By the way, you poked a bear. Abby, your lovely wife, says, I didn't put the pounds on you. You're the cook of the house.
That's right. I am. And I'm proud of it.
That's all right.
Yeah.
All right, so let's speed up. So you go through the Dionar Incorporated. What'd you do there?
Actually, I was with the MB2
from
2001 till 2006, 7.
Till they
turned
in
again.
Yeah.
Turned in again deal. And I was car chief in Mark Martin. Car chief in setting up cars and changing tires.
This was back in the day. So you were a car chief, setup,
and changing tires.
You would not see that today anywhere.
No. And so I did that, and we almost won our first race out with Mark Martin and Daytona. It's probably the best and saddest race of my career when the caution with Kevin Harvick. Yep. Yes,
right,
that was
comes out.
That was the hardest pill to swallow when I walked out of that garage and seen the 01 car second. You know, something you worked for all your life, you know, and then I went there, my grandfather won the Permatex 300 in I think 1974 in Daytona.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's like one place I wanted to win at. And it was like I came so close. I was able to win there later in 2013 with Matt Kenseth and July race.
Good.
In the Xfinity series, but
it's a cool place to win.
Yes, it is.
Period.
Should we show them our rings now, or
no? Kind
of I've got a couple rings.
I'm just kidding. My story, Daytona 500 ones, we can show them. No.
Yeah.
He's got a lot more than I do.
Yeah.
Okay, so this our website guy says, I'm 100% pinning that comment that you just made there. Dan Lynch.
Yeah, he was first job in
2007.
Yeah. All-star belt at Grace. Yeah. That's when 2007 is when we had the bad rains at Michigan.
They
called it on Sunday.
They
called it Monday.
Right.
We ended up racing on Tuesday.
Guys were going to Target and Walmart getting clothes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was a rough deal.
Yep.
Racing Bristol next week.
He says, you're a great car chief, better drinker. That's Dan Lynch.
Better than me, Lynch?
Are we
about running that and that.
So they pinned the comment from Abby there. So you're going through that transition. Now, when you're a car chief, like, let's go back a few years. What were your duties then and now as a car chief now compared to what would you say the difference is?
Back then, more of the car chief, I mean, you were still basically a glorified mechanic. Mm-hmm. You know, you still did, I mean, well.
I could do everything, right?
Today, I still do everything. But back then, everybody had to do everything. Mm-hmm. There wasn't any specific job.
Right.
In other words, there wasn't just a.
Everybody was roofers.
Yeah, there wasn't a tire guy. There wasn't an interior guy. There wasn't a front end or rear mechanic. Right. Everybody did everything together. Right.
Did you have the checklist back then that you taped to the
car? Oh, yeah, you taped them on the on the left rear quarter panel car. Right. You know, so And back then, like on Sunday mornings when you got to the racetrack and you were still working on a checklist, and Warren, you know, the pit crew, when they got there, they would help you. If they were shop guys, they would come help you. Mm-hmm. If it was a rear end guy that was a tire carrier or whatnot, he would come help you finish your checklist for you.
Or chase lug nuts or do whatever. Change your gas heads. Yeah. Or
they would come work on the car before they went set up the road. That was just part of the deal.
And now, compared to what a car chief does and the pit crew, they're kind of
it's totally separate. Yeah. The pit crew is solely a pit crew.
So I'll say real quick, I was at first with DEI, I was what you call just a Sunday guy, where I only went on Sunday. And my duties on Sunday were not even to help set up the pit box. The guys who actually pitted the car did that.
Right.
I would go right to the car. And I would help, I was on the one, I would help Bono. I would go report to the car chief and help Bono and see what he needed.
Right.
You know, hey, Warren, tape the ducts, do this, do that. You know, he had a list for me to do. So, and now there's none of that.
Right.
Those guys aren't mechanics at all.
And with the schedule now, so I can't see it anyway. Even before, you know, the last 5-6 years, the pit crew, they're on pit road.
Right. They're athletes.
They're athletes.
Don't get them going. Don't get them going.
You know, I changed tires for over 16, 17 years, you know, and it's like, I'm not an athlete. I never was.
Oh, yeah, you are.
I didn't like working out. And my philosophy was I was car chief and setting the cars up. Lance Motzgard was our pit coach through MB2 and again. And you're like, you're not going to pit rats. Well, you know what? If I don't get this car set up,
we're not going to
need
practice.
Yeah,
we're not going to do pit stops. We're not going to be at the racetrack. I mean, you know, you got to come in here, you know, make yourself so I can go in there and get on a treadmill and walk around, you know, like a Oompa Loompa for a couple minutes.
You like put a beer on a stick in front of you?
You go out there and say, all right, I'm going back to work, you know. It's a total different deal.
It is like a different deal.
I mean, when I started doing pit stops, we were doing 22 second pit stops. When I quit full-time in 2010, I think we were doing 12 and a half second pit stops.
Right.
So I went through the whole evolution.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And then, you know, I did part-time for Nemechek for a couple of years, and I got out of it, and then doing it, you know, the last 2 years, it was kind of fun. You know, it's like, there was, oh, God, you're going to change. Like, hey. It's like riding a bicycle.
Yeah.
You know.
But you knew you could do it still.
Yeah.
Kramer says, what would be your favorite racing memory so far in your life?
Nice. Good question.
Yes, very good question. I thought about that a lot because I figured that question was going to come up. I had 1988 when Papa won the ARC race at Talladega and Davey Allison was the crew chief.
Right.
That was pretty, and that's one of the pictures.
That just gave me a little bit of goosebumps I never knew Davey was a crew chief,
Pablo's working for Davey on we're on the Xfinity deal, man. Davey actually crew chief Pablo, and Pablo won the race. That's probably,
and this is 88, so you were still in high school, right?
I was still in high school.
You were on your summer trip down to
Pablo.
Right, nice. That's awesome.
I remember 1984 when Papa won the ARC race at Talladega. They started the race. And
When he says Papa, he's talking Red Farmer.
Red Farmer, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. Told me that before the show.
Okay. I still told you not to swear, but thanks.
Most of these people know.
It's like, hey, don't do it. I'm just talking to you.
So,
fire changes.
It was 84. They started the race. He was driving for Jerry Corbin. He owned I think he was out of West Virginia. They called it the Orange Punk in number 97. And couple laps into the race, Paul goes in turn three, cuts the tire down on his outside wall. There's four restrictor plates. And he comes down pit road, and the pit crew hadn't even got set up. So the guys had to go to another pit stall to pit the car.
Wow.
Paul lost two laps under green. Yeah. Came back out.
Okay.
Unlapped himself two laps, and then lapped the field and won the race.
That's a driver.
That was horsepower.
That's a driver.
That's a driver and horsepower.
His horsepower, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right, so David Weiss says, Charlie's such a good cook. He skinned and cooked a roadkill deer at the shop for a Christmas party. I think Pete Wright hit it with his car. Charlie went and got it out of the ditch. Damn good times. Are you kidding me?
So, yes, what we had. Yeah, this is the truth.
Didn't sit that long then.
The Pete Wright hitting the deer is not exactly correct.
Okay.
But, so, yes.
Where'd you get this from? Over there.
So, yes.
Killed it.
So, I killed it. Right from bumper.
So, funny story. Ray Everham's.
Got to splitter off this thing.
Ray Everham's dad, Pops.
Yeah.
He worked for us in MB2. He made coffee. He handed out paychecks. Yeah, okay. He collected sheet metal, sold lug nuts. Yeah. So all year when he sold sheet metal lug nuts, he would save up the money for our Christmas party at the end of the year.
Very important.
Because, you know, you didn't have a lot, you know, teams weren't big back then. Right. You didn't have a lot of money. So we go up here to Mooresville Meat, over here, the seafood restaurant used to be. And he would buy steaks. Me and him would go up here. We'd get steaks, hamburgers, hot dogs, and we'd cook them out. And now the sponsors and stuff come in. Well, this particular year, one of the guys went to Bass Pro Shops, was coming back across the bridge from Concord Mills to come into Roush.
Okay, yeah. Right.
And saw somebody hit a deer. I was like, man, somebody just hit a deer. I'm like, what are you talking about? I said, yeah, somebody hit a deer. I was like, hey, let's go check it out. So we get in the truck and we go down there. Yep. We pick up this doe.
Was it still warm?
Huh?
Still warm, right?
Yeah. It was like, yeah. It might have still had a pulse, actually. So we load this deer in the back of the truck.
Okay.
We bring it back to the MB2 shop. And it later become Petty, so anybody worked at Petty Motorsports knows the concrete room out back that had to lift where we washed the cars. So
not on this day.
We go get us a piece of square tube. We run it through the back legs. We put it on the lift. We raise this old doe up. So everybody in the shop wanted to come out and see this. So there's, I mean, at the time we had Johnny Benson and...
Johnny's been out here and all this stuff.
Got it. So, of course, I ain't got no hunting knife. We got some X-Acto slip knives.
Right, razor blades.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, I made a slice down the center. Turned around, there ain't but three people left.
Everybody took off. When you
gutted
it.
When I gutted it.
I could have been leading them out of there. Yeah. Just like, you know, should have been the first one out. So,
I got this deer.
Yeah.
And,
our viewership the truck just dropped off too.
I told the truck driver, Johnny Rocker, I said, you go get us four or five big aluminum pants and all the tie-in dressing you can find in Concord. He's like, what? I said, just do it. So we cut the hindquarters and front hams off of it.
Yeah, you got to marinate them a little bit.
So we put it in the pans, we marinate them, covered them up, left them. Well, the next morning we come in and we're going to have a cookout for the team.
Sure.
Well, there's Army generals coming in, everybody from the Army and this and another. So we're 4:00 in the morning, we're starting to cook, and we get all this food cooked, and everybody in the shop's like, we're not eating this deer. Back up. No broken bones on this doe.
Okay.
She had one little bruise on one rib, about the size of a quarter. Okay. You know, so there was no harm done.
Sure.
So the Army generals, they come in, like three-star general, or three-star.
Because you're sponsored by the Army car, yeah.
They come in, they're eating this, and they're like, man, this is good stuff. So everybody in the back's Jay Fry, who's our teammate, he's back there chuckling, you know. It's like this. So we got done. I was like, you know, I got to tell these guys, you know. I told them, I said, hey, this deer we ate, we got hit yesterday. I was like, hey, this is good stuff.
Exactly.
It was a joke forever, you know. Yeah, we ate roadkill. So,
What are your favorite wins of all time?
That's a tough one.
Championship?
You got a Xfinity or Cup championship win?
No Cup championship. I got an Xfinity championship with Chris Buescher.
Okay, there you go.
That was probably overall, we led the points most of the year. That was the last year of the old point system.
Okay.
Before they went to the new point system. I think we won three races that year. And that was...
The last time Chris Buescher won. No, I'm
just Hey, don't mess with him. He's my buddy.
He's a great kid.
He's
I mean, we all have these.
Him and C. Bell are my two top drivers Bell? Ever. Yes.
What made him your favorite drivers?
Personality.
Yeah.
Got it.
Likeability.
Very genuine. Yeah.
genuine, true racers. They're not snobs. They're not stuck up. I right. call both of them right now on the phone. They'll answer the phone. They'll talk
right.
to me.
Right.
Not because I'm, you know,
yeah, cause, you know,
untalkable, but
yeah, I get no, it.
They're just, they're great people. They are great human beings.
So they're out for the trophies, not the checks. Yes. Safe to say?
Yes.
Got it.
C-Bell's probably, I would say between Mark Martin and C-Bell.
Christopher Bell,
yeah. Yeah, Christopher. Okay. Are probably the two most talented drivers I've ever worked yeah. with.
Okay.
That's against that, Kyle. I work with Kyle, but I don't, it's a different.
It's a different talent.
Monica Rogers says, who needs car stories? This deer story is so much better. We don't recommend you try this home, folks.
Yeah, exactly,
this
yeah.
story, this took place a long time ago.
Yes.
Just like Tim and Warren, great people. Oh, hey, oh, Tom, where you been? Thanks for chiming in. Jeez. Number one fan out of New Jersey.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, we dubbed him the number one fan. He actually drove down to
meet us.
Do a show
and hang out with us. Cool. Yeah.
That's a true, yeah, fan. I forgot. You distracted me, Tom. Where was I going the whole thing? So you've been in the sport in a long time. What are some of the changes you like and some that you don't like? Without throwing anybody in the bus. Or,
yeah.
I mean, well, I have mine. He has his. What are yours? You've lived it, like, since you were
for a long time.
Long time.
I think COVID's killed the sport.
It's hurt us.
It's changed us.
Right.
With the no practice, no practice. Yeah.
So I've been on the road 32 years. You take somebody last year who's been on the road 31 years, traveling Thursday through Sunday or Friday through Sunday, that has a routine,
mm-hmm.
and that's all they know.
Yeah.
Then we go to Atlanta last year, get off an airplane, and they tell us our world's ended.
Yeah.
To go home.
I drove down, walked in the hotel, found out, drove back.
And you don't know what's going to happen next. Right. And it's like, what do you do?
Yeah. And now all these one-day shows, right?
Yeah.
Do you think the lack of practice and qualifying has killed some of the anticipation leading up to it? Because fans are like, oh, who won practice? And, you know, who's on the pole?
I miss happy hour. I really do.
Yeah. We're talking the one on the track, the last practice.
Yes.
Got it. That one too.
Yeah, I think it does. For the fan side of it, especially, you know, being able to, you know, come in and bring a town
mm-hmm.
money in for the weekend as far as being able to be there Friday, Saturday, Sunday to go through practice, sell hot dogs, hamburgers, cold beer,
yep.
watch practice, qualifying, Xfinity race, happy hour, cup yep, race, right. you know, now you're taking these fans that spent all this money and they're going to come here to watch
one race. Yeah.
It's like, you know, so, and you're old enough that Tim knows it. You're old enough. The circus is in town, right? That's what
I call it, the asphalt circus.
You know what I mean? Yeah. That's when it came here, the circus is in town. When we go to Bristol, the circus is in town. Yeah. And that brings a lot of revenue to these
smaller. A lot of excitement,
yeah.
too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do think you get more fans because of it. And they have a whole weekend. Most of our fans turn this into an experience.
They turn it into a vacation.
A vacation. Sure, yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Person, it's a vacation. To us, yeah. it's work.
Yeah.
To them, they look forward, like for Bristol. You yeah. take an average family Perfect. That wants to go to Bristol two times a year. That's what they look forward to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The excitement, the camping, the party, yeah. the campfires.
Well, look, they sit on the side of the road.
Yes.
Across the street.
Waiting for the haulers to come in.
Yeah, just to watch.
They
yeah.
sit there and watch people drive
yeah,
by.
Exactly.
It's an event. So they're building up to the Friday night, the Saturday night, and then, you know, whatever day, Friday, Saturday, whatever.
Yeah.
But it builds up to it, and you make friends, and you meet them, and you build these relationships. And even us, as plebe of the work, people that work in the sport, we would go and see these same fans. Like, oh, you guys, and we'd meet up with them again. And
yeah.
It was kind of like a reunion every weekend with all these people.
Yeah.
Now it's just like, get in for the day, get in, get out. I see the good part, I see the bad, and I know the cost and everything, but as far as what you just said, I never really thought of that like that.
Well, you know, yeah. I just thought of something. When was the last time they had a trucker parade? Think of all Trump these little
Darlington.
Yeah, Darlington.
Bristol.
Vegas.
Vegas. Yep.
Huge. You know, it was crazy.
Yep. Yeah.
You know,
and it that's what
the fans, they thrive off of that yeah. stuff. And that's what feeds them to go to the racetrack, to spend the money, to buy the souvenirs,
right.
to go to sit in the stands and to support everybody.
Right. Yeah. And you sit in the same seats and the people around you.
Exactly.
And you know,
you get a, like I said, you get a bond.
Yeah.
You get a bond with a group of people. You meet more people. You know, it's been tough on sport.
Okay. So what's one of the things I never thought of it the way you just put it, but yeah, I guess, wow. Okay. So here I'm thinking it's been good because it's saving teams a lot of money, but on the other end, maybe it's not saving. It's hurting more than it's helping.
I mean, it's probably helping TV, it's saving, but that's
it's helping TV and teams, but the fan side of it, okay. I think, is...
What's something you liked that's changed?
Same thing. Only have to go to work one day. No spend more time at home.
Being able to fly out in the morning.
Yeah.
Race and come home the same day.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. And it's kind of, it's...
You spend more time cooking on that flat top grill.
Exactly. So, I spend more time with my dogs, my animals. Still, it's like taking a fish out of water.
All right, so let's talk about Abby, your wife now. She works in the sport.
Yes.
And she's been in the sport for a long time.
Yes.
And how'd you meet her?
I met her through when I worked at Red Bull.
Okay. And then now she works for NASCAR itself and credentials.
Yeah, she works.
So is she gone longer than you are now?
Yes.
So it's a reverse or
it's both? Yeah, it's a reversal. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm the wife of the house.
Yeah.
Got it. And I tell everybody that.
Yeah.
House husband.
House husband. Yeah.
Right.
And I enjoy it.
Does she give you a list of things to do when you go?
Oh, no.
Okay.
No.
I'm just curious.
No, I've got she'll tell you, she'll chime up here in a minute. Yep. I do my own list.
Yeah.
Sunday morning, I do a milk run, I call it.
Okay.
I go to my three grocery stores. I buy groceries for the week,
mm-hmm.
food for the animals. When she gets home, the dishes are done, the sheets are changed, the house is vacuumed, and ready for her to come home.
You have her paper and her beer ready for her?
Yeah. You know, it's like, because she's gone usually Wednesday through Sunday.
She does.
I'm usually gone Saturday to Saturday night.
So she does credentials, right?
She's yes.
Judge credentials. So
she has to go in a day earlier.
Isn't that great? Don't you get a little stir crazy? You know, I've gotten a little more, because I like to cook and stuff too, and I've gotten a little more stir crazy with stuff by not traveling. You know what I mean? By not being gone. You know, it's like, all right, well, what am I going to do here today? Well, and then you come up with something. Well, I'm gonna make a rack of lamb or something. You know what I mean?
No, I'm gonna
make a rib roast or something.
If I went racing right now, I'd probably have a, look, there's my wife right there. He's an amazing husband.
He's an amazing, incredible husband. Yeah. Well, of course he is, Abby, after everything we just heard. There's some guys are going to call up and say, hey, you want to go out sometime?
I enjoy cooking. I love cooking.
Where did that start? How did that all begin?
It started back when I was in school.
Okay.
My mother and father, we grew up on 80 acres back in Tennessee, and we lived on a road that I knew at 5 o'clock they were going to turn down the driveway to come home.
Okay.
And there was always a fresh pot of tea made for them, and my mom would leave a grocery or a dinner menu, and I learned from her how to cook. Huh. And I would have dinner ready when they got home and a fresh pot of tea, and my dad a cold Budweiser when he walked in the door. And I always opened that Budweiser up when he walked in the door, and I always got the first swallow. So my dad said, son, the first swallow of the beer is the best swallow ever.
And you were the happiest 12-year-old ever.
Yeah, but that's where I started cooking.
Yeah. All right.
You know, I enjoy cooking. It's like my pressure relief, my getaway. Yeah. I love cooking. I cook for my... all my neighbors in the neighborhood. Or
so are we talking like grill items? Are we talking like smoking things?
You got a little bit of everything.
Like pasta dishes?
I do everything but baking. I don't...
It's okay, that was my next one. Do you make butterscotch brownies?
No, I'm not big on baking. As far as everything else cooking, I have a smoker, I have a Blackstone, I have a smoker grill, a charcoal grill. I enjoy cooking everything.
Oh, good. But you
meat.
Said...
Meat.
Yeah, meat.
Yeah. Meat,
vegetables, little stir fry thing. I think
Abby says she couldn't do this without him. She says, Abby says, stop. It took him 3 years to cook ribs.
Yeah, I didn't want to really have to. All right, damn it.
Do tell.
So when we first started courting her,
and
she took me to introduce her mom and dad. Her dad was the most amazing man on earth.
Yeah.
I loved him to death. And he's just this quiet, fragile guy. And I'm over here I'm gonna show off. I'm gonna cook ribs.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, the first couple of racks of ribs I tried making ended up out in the front yard. Yeah, they didn't turn out so well.
Right.
Poor dad, mom didn't know what to think of Charlie at the time.
Can you make Pop-Tarts, honey?
Yeah, exactly. Can this guy boil water, make red cheese? I've made up for it. Right. I've made up
That's
for it.
That's how you learn.
Exactly. But no, I love cooking. This past weekend, I cooked something, I smoked something. It was like 25 drumsticks, 25 chicken thighs. I did.
Wow,
kind of famous
it?
For my.
Everybody loves my. Where do you live again?
I do homemade jalapeno, smoked jalapeno poppers.
Okay, so there's a smoked cheese, smoked cream cheese.
And yes, I did 6 cubes of smoked cream cheese this weekend.
Angela says extra about smoked cream cheese.
Yeah, it's it'll make your tongue slap your brains out.
Really, that good?
Yeah, it's
make
good.
Your tongue?
Slap your brains out.
That sounds like an Alabama thing.
Yeah.
It is.
Well,
yes.
Someone just chimed in and said, roll tide.
Pete Bader, yes, sir.
Roll tide. Just as it came up there. Warren, Tom Beatty says, let's have a Charlie versus Warren cook-off.
Yeah, right. I'm up for it. I'll, yeah, I'm
He'd
good.
Probably beat me.
That's all right.
I enjoy cooking. I love fishing. Fishing's my number one hobby. Yeah. I ain't got to do it a lot this year with the schedule and everything. I build custom fishing rods on the side and I fix everybody's fishing rods around here, you know, when they break an eyelet or break a tip top off. You know, I enjoy that kind of relaxation.
It's your, zen. Guild. I call it
the zen. That and cooking, both. Yeah. It's like,
Damn, Lynch, it's time for a refill, boys.
I just got one.
We just got one.
I'll get one.
I got some last one out of the bucket.
I'm going to the fridge.
Yeah, you better
go get one out of
the fridge. I'm going to the fridge. I ain't scared.
So we're going to joke his racing.
What's happening over here?
He's going to make noise again.
Working
at Joe Gibbs Racing, how long have you been there?
I've been there 2 stints.
Okay.
So I worked there from December of, and my wife's going to be, oh yeah, he knows the exact date.
Yeah.
I worked from the December of 2010 to the December of 2013.
Right.
They ended up shutting our deal down. I went to Roush from December 13 till December of 16. Then I went back to Gibbs.
Okay.
And I've been there ever since.
All right.
And I'm going to retire there.
When I'm gone
from Joe Gibbs Racing, I'm done with racing.
Good for you.
At what point, what do you think makes them so good? What is it? What do you think their secret of success is?
They're a very family-oriented team. It's a huge company, over 400-something employees.
Yeah.
But they treat you like family. If you've got a problem, you go talk to Coy, you go talk to Coach.
Okay. And they'll listen.
And they'll listen to you.
They don't just pawn you off down the line.
No.
Okay.
And, you know, even with JD, when JD was alive, mm-hmm. it's like I met him one time when I first went to work there in December 2010. And when I left in 2013, every time he came in the shop, he spoke to me and knew my name.
Which is good.
And Coy's the same way when he comes around.
Which is important.
They care about their people.
They care about the people that work for them. You're not a number. I've worked with other organizations that you were, pardon me, a number.
Right.
You were a tag.
Yeah.
You were dispensable.
Yeah.
They didn't care.
We've both been there.
Yes. Everybody. We've all
been there. Yeah, we've all been there.
We've all been there.
You worked at Racing, you said.
Yeah. You know, so it's an organization that when you get up in the morning, you want to go to work.
That's good.
It's not like it's a job or it's a
chore.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, there's not many places in racing left like that.
No.
You know.
Well, that's good. It starts at the top and it carries down because, you know, you've been in charge. I ran a racetrack with you. And if you take the time to say hey to everybody, just check in.
Goes a long way.
Can't do it all the time. You thank you, say thank you, thank you, thank you. Those two words, that little gestures can mean so much. Whereas others just, you know, punch in, punch out, great. And you only hear from when you screw up, which I always believe is not the way to, you know, run. But you're gonna make your mistakes, we get that, but how do we avoid making that again?
Funny
to me is the success.
Funny story of that. I've known Regan Smith since he was 10 years old. I worked for his mom and dad when I first moved to North Carolina. Yep. And he's like my little brother. And I can't say I helped him, but I was a little part of him getting his Xfinity ride. Again,
okay.
Yep.
When we were there.
Yep.
And I told him when he got that ride that the number one thing you could do in this sport is that you come to the shop at least 2 days a week. You walk around, you learn everybody's name.
Mm-hmm.
You come to the shop and you speak to everybody. You say hi to them. You apologize to them if you kill a car. You know, you take your road guys out to eat dinner once or twice a month,
yep.
and you help your shop guys out.
that means more than anything to people in racing.
And you'll find
there's so many drivers. I've worked with so many drivers that you never see them. They never come to the shop. They never appreciate what you do. But if you have a driver that comes to the shop, it makes a point to come to the front suspension room and speak to them, introduce themselves, talk to them. Go to the rear suspension room. Go to the shock room. Yeah. Go to the body shop.
And it means
go to the body hangers because the other one's suffering.
They go. They go home. They go. Hey, honey, guess who stopped in today? Really stopped in.
Yeah.
And they like that.
It goes a long way.
It goes a long way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And everyone wants to meet the driver. Let's not cut the crap. Every guy that works in that shop.
They
want to
meet
the
driver, but they want to make sure that they feel appreciated
for what
they're doing for the driver.
And there's not a lot of that these days.
Chris Letourneau says, tell the old man not to be late in the morning.
Yeah, pot calling the kettle.
Yeah. Chris, aren't you getting a new there to be giving orders?
Yeah. Little Dave.
There you go. Excuse me. All right, what's good to know about Gibbs? I don't want to say regrets, but if there's one thing you could have done differently, what would it have been?
Say it again.
If there's one thing in your career you could have done differently. Because you went from high school to racing.
And not
no,
not,
actually, I went not, from. Actually, I raced all the way through high school.
Okay, right. You graduated,
maybe in your racing career.
Your racing.
So
what would I have done?
You know, I always say I always say it like this, Charlie. I came down here to be a mechanic. I ended up being a fabricator. Now I'm an aero. I'm an aero.
He's the bomb.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like that was not my intentions at all. I kind of wanted to be a car chief or a crew chief.
Yeah.
That was my intentions to go down that path. So did you follow your are you where you wanted to, is this what you expected?
Yeah, I think it is. I always thought growing up that when I worked for my grandfather and worked on his cars all week and we went to the racetrack and we had to do pit stops and I got to change tires,
right,
and I got to see him win, not only win but run good, I knew that I had part of that. That made me feel good inside to know that, hey, I built that car.
Yeah.
We finished, nothing fell off. We did the best of our ability. So, and that's always been my motto through my career is that, you know, I want to do everything to the best of my ability.
Yeah.
And I became a car chief and changed tires. So now I'm at a point in my career. I started a couple years ago. I told him, I said, listen, I said, I don't have to be car chief, but I want to help people become what they want to be in racing. So I had Chris Sherwood.
Yes.
I remember Chris.
I
hired him again as a tire guy.
Yep, I know Chris. I know him from DEI.
We hired C-Bell. We had Jason Ratcliffe. And Jason's like, hey, I want to bring this kid Chris Sherwood in to be the car chief. And I said, it's perfect. I said, I'll train him.
So he went under your wing.
He went under my wing, and I trained him, and he moved to the Cup Series.
Yeah.
And I went and told Steve, I said, you know, I enjoy doing this. I don't have to be a car chief.
Mentor.
I want to help people live out their dreams. I've done everything that I want to do. I want to help people that want to be here live out their dreams.
Right.
So then we had J.P. Egbert. I had him for the last 2 years as a car chief. Trained him. Now he's up at the Cup Shop. You know, so that's the part that gives me
satisfaction. Now
that I can say, hey, you know what? I helped him to get where he's at.
Right.
I know. And
you know, I've
been there, done.
I can relate to that a lot because, you know, me being a fab guy and every place I've worked, I've helped the younger guys move along.
Because back in the day, we had when racing was over, we worked in the body shop.
Right.
On the speedway car. We sanded, we bonded. You had to do everything.
Everything.
And then everything, you know, back in our generation, you had to do everything on a car. Now, as the years moved on, it became more specific per corner, I guess you could say, or specific department.
Department.
Specialized.
What do
you
do? What do you specialize?
Yeah, what do you do?
I build tie rods. That's all. Can you weld? No.
So you're,
what do you do? I put oil tanks in. You put oil tanks in.
Yeah.
Right.
Can you put a gear in?
What?
No.
No.
Okay. No. Oh, there's a guy that puts fuel cells in. He's back over there. It's like,
yeah.
You know, they're in it.
And then there's, I pick things up and put things
them
down.
That's the picture.
We're not even going there.
I'll be beat up by picture guys. This is why.
Exactly.
So you're saying your satisfaction now is your old age of 48. Should we laugh now or later? Your mark you're leaving is that you're mentoring, you're teaching people, passing on your knowledge.
They call me Dad. My nickname now is Dad.
So we'd be like Gramps.
I don't get Gramps all the time.
I get Dad. Like if somebody came to us and said, Dad, can you come? Yeah, Dad will get
okay,
it.
That's good. That's you good.
Know? So it's kind of like, and I came through the mentorship of Pete Wright.
Yeah.
You know Pete.
Absolutely. Pete was my great guy.
Pete was my roommate for 10 years. All through MB2, GIN,
and
DEI.
And
he was like my father.
And Red Bull even, right?
Red Bull. He was like my father. You know, and he taught me not quite as much as our grandpa did, but he's right there. We still talk all the time.
Good deal.
You know, and he's like.
Great guy.
So me being able to learn from him, from everything that he learned through all the years of racing, I appreciated what he did.
Yeah.
So now I enjoy teaching and mentoring kids that come up through.
Right.
It's good. You're passing down.
Kind of feel like it's your turn to do it.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. I'm not going to be forever. I've been up top of the hill. I'm riding the sled down. I just hope I don't run out of ice. You know, it's like hang on to that thing, you know, hit the next corner.
All right. Well, you know what? That was kind of like it was going to be my final question, but just kind of answered. Do you have anything else before we say goodnight? You good?
I think I'm good.
It's good. Hey.
It's really good.
I'm honored to have you on. I know I just met you, yesterday? I walked in.
Hey, we'll do it again.
Tell them what happened here.
What?
Tell our audience.
All right. So Warren says, hey, we don't have a guest. We had to move him to next week. I said, I'm nuts. So I got done doing the How I Got Here podcast on Speed Sport that I do. Go check it out. And I'm like, I go, we don't have anybody. I go, I know what to do. So I go over to Micaiah's, and there's like 70 of these
local
guys.
A local area wiring hole.
They have, what do you call it, safety meetings?
Safety meetings.
Safety meetings.
Safety never takes a day off.
Exactly. So just remember that. They're in there having a safety meeting. And I walk in, and like Chris Latour, I go, hey, you want to be? He goes, no, let him be. And I go, all right, which one of you guys wants to be a pub table racer? You go, oh, you're pub table racers. I go, you're on. Went down, talked to him, that's it. So I appreciate it. Don't forget our sponsors. Oh, my gosh, we forgot. Because the peanut guy was chirping in there. Racingjunk.com. Check out the Garage Shop, the YouTube channel. A lot of great stuff going on there. And, of course, our number one guy, Rapid Removal, Darren Russell. Thank you so much. We appreciate you.
Yep.
Look him up. He'll move.
Best dump box in Mooresville.
That's it. There you go.
Nice. Dump box. Do you like
that? So, sorry about that, Darren. Everyone. I appreciate it. Hey, thank you so much, Charlie. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Charlie.
Hey, we'll do it again.
Thanks for coming.
We haven't even done a cooking episode yet.
We did.
Maybe like a cooking
episode. There we go. Let's do a
That might be an off-season thing.
Cookies with
thing.
Charlie and
Warren? That would be an off-season. Exactly. I'll show up my Salins hot dog.
Salins hot dog? You know, we don't cook hot dogs.
Okay, I'm just telling that's where my...
Yeah, that's a Yankee damn
one. No, we're going to...
It is a damn good
one. We'll cook hot dog if we find roadkill.
Oh, yeah, roadkill. He'll be showing me, you guys cook this?
Yeah.
All right, so
we'll cook it all.
Have a good week. May your team win this week or whatever. Have a safe one. Stay safe.
Roll Tide. The Gators are going down.
Like I said, say goodnight, Dick.
Goodnight, Dick.
Goodnight, Dick. See ya. Thank you, everybody.
The Gators.
Wow. Hey, another great show.
Thank you
so much, everybody, for tuning in. We appreciate it. We do this every Tuesday night. And Warren, I think the guests we've had have been fantastic.
Phenomenal.
And the people that are following us, we appreciate it. We're reaching 42,000 people a month. Can you believe that? And we appreciate you watching. And
we're having fun. Hope everybody else enjoys it.
That's it. And it's just a fun show. Bucket of beer. Guys sitting around talking about it. So keep tuning in. We appreciate it. Check out our store and everything. But we appreciate you people. And we will see you next week. Right, my friend?
Yes, sir.
All right. See you next week.